It's the Luminaries with David Odyssey. Welcome to part two of the 100th episode celebration. I am so glad you are here. For this one, I have recruited our beloved Kiko Soiree to read my tarot, read me, and give some insight on moving on, metamorphosis, Sag and Scorpio season, and everything else. Thanks for listening. Mwah. Kiss, kiss, kiss. It is the 100th episode of Luminaries, and the celebration, or what have you, continues. And this time, I am welcoming on 4-time returning guest, an MVP, whom I love very, very much, to give me some insight through their own synthesized wisdom and through the resources of the tarot. Kiko Soiree, thank you so much for being here.
4-time award-winning guest friend and confidant reporting for duty on the 100th episode of The Luminaries.
Here I am. I can't believe we made it. I know.
Here I am. What's up, David?
Well, I guess there's a lot that I know that I can turn to you for advice for, because the reason I think I seek you out, Kiko, is this. For some reason, I think you'll understand this. Sorry, this is a lot of preamble.
I feel preamble.
Okay, there's a huge overture, little show. I just feel like this is a culmination moment. You know, there's a lot coming together, and I feel like a lot of things are starting to fire off, and I feel myself being kind of buoyed to maybe higher visibility or fulfillment in what I do. And with that, there has been profound shame, profound pushback and blowback, a deep sense of like, wanting to just disappear and not really believing, and just this sense of, you know, something I've carried with me my whole life, which is like, once something starts going, it gets bigger. And when it gets bigger, I become visible. And once I become visible, I just want to burn the whole thing down because it feels dangerous or like I'm losing control. And I guess I'm turning to you for insight with how to cross this threshold.
Okay, stakes are low.
Casual.
Stakes are actually really casual.
Just kind of wanted to do a check-in for 100th episode, nothing serious.
Well, I think it's really cosmic. Just to catch up all of our listeners out there, David and I are kind of coming off the heels of an amazing live show that we did towards the end of October, Mystique. It was at the Halloween week. We put on a very fun show, and it was loosely and also very intentionally Scorpio themed, including many of our favorite icons, narratives, stories, and of course, guests. And I can't help but think that the moment we're in right now is another sort of cosmic marker. Then we were transitioning into Scorpio season, and now we are transitioning into Sagittarius season. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Astrologer.
Right. Yep.
And just from my lens and how I've kind of lived and experienced this season, actually having both the Scorpio and Sagittarius signs in my triumvirate portrait, Scorpio rising, moon in Sagittarius, I always view this time as kind of like, yeah, when you go into Scorpio season, the cosmos is asking you to confront the truth that you discover from burning everything away that is false. You come to your own inner truth. Scorpio kind of puts you through the ringer. And it's a little bit of pain is good, baby. And pain is fun. Yeah. You know, not pain is, it's important for you to figure out what your own truth is. That's kind of the Scorpio thing, right? Do you have more to add about Scorpio season in a nutshell?
You're nailing it. Yeah, you're nailing it.
It's the resurrection. It's the phoenix. You know, it's the Slytherin. It's the what are you willing to die for and rise for, right?
Yeah.
And then we get into Sagittarius season, which is a fire sign. And it's just like, I'm back, but also I have a newfound truth and I'm ready to just let it rip. And in a different way from Leo, my son, not I'm going to let it rip, look at me, but more, wow, I just went through a crazy sort of cleansing experience. And I know my truth, and I'm just going to carry that exuberance and joy in this newfound being of who I am. And I'm going to, anyone who wants to listen, anyone, everything I go to, I'm just going to live in this little fire that I have inside me. That's how I think of Sagittarius season. And also, you know, lines up in the Western cultures with the holidays coming and, you know, a little bit festive and some parties. And that's what Sagittarius is on paper, right? They always say Sagittarius folks are the party people, socially dominant. What does Channy say typically in the book? Like a buoyant and jubilant kind of attitude.
Yeah.
A buoyant nature. And I think that buoyancy comes from a deep found recognition of the process of Scorpio. Right? We can only know about the sign we're currently in by looking what came before and what comes next.
Very good.
That's me blowing my fingers for everyone who's listening. Well, I know that's kind of my take. I love Sagittarius season. I think it's fun.
I think you've gone through, you know, observing you, I think over the past few months, you've definitely gone through a shedding. And I think, you know, I see you, I perceive, maybe I'm wrong, but I do see you look lighter. You look a little bit unburdened and you look a little gooped.
I'm gooped. I'm Gwyneth Paltrow gooped. I feel gooped. Well, should I talk about me?
Yes, by all means.
Oh gosh, should I talk?
If you'd like, whatever you'd like to share.
No, I think you're right. Personally, I have gone through. I've definitely felt the Scorpio season, and everything has just lined up very cosmically, like to the point I was like, "Whoa, that's very strange." I really have been feeling been very connected to the cosmic happenings, but also carrying in my other, you know, a stone in the pocket that says, you know, everything is also free will too. It's been really cool to carry both points of view. I think at this point in my life, so maturely, you know, knowing that it's not one or the other, it's not just, oh, I decide my life and I'm in control of everything, or, oh no, I'm looking for an answer. It's outside me and it's in the cards or it's in the stars, and it's not one or the other.
Yeah, but when you can, moon.
When you can kind of like take in both, it's very cool. And, you know, and literally on paper, I quit a job I didn't like very much, but served me well for the time I was in for various reasons and karmic lessons. And then now I'm in a new job where I'm kind of in shock that I can finally let go of narrative surrounding work and working relationships and just kind of how I show up. And I'm kind of being tasked to I am being tasked to live out kind of the ideals I guess I have about life in this new job, which is really exciting because I feel like the people are actually good-hearted and well-intentioned and also excited to work. Mm. Oh, I'm a Hallmark card. I'm a Sag moon. What can I say? I'm a Sag moon. What can I say? Okay, tell the people about a Sag moon, David.
A Sag moon I think needs to know that there's more and needs to know that there's a deeper meaning. So a Sag Moon, I don't think it's necessarily the total mania of like your typical Sag, like a Sag Sun. I think a Sag Moon, and you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Dexter, who's been on this podcast a lot, says Dexter has a Sag Moon, and Dexter always says, I don't need to go anywhere right now, but I do need to know that a flight is booked. And I think there's this idea with a Sag Moon of, there always just needs to be a portal open for more discovery.
Yes.
And there always needs to be a portal open to imbue even the most mundane aspect of life with meaning. And if that's not an option, that's when things go wrong. And that doesn't mean that you have to live as an academic. You can have a completely boring life, but it does have to have some meaning or some ideal that you can be discovering or understanding or learning about.
Right. That's yes. I think about my Sag Moon in that even in my day to day, I mean, a moon is kind of like how you are balancing your emotional life on a day to day basis.
Yeah.
Or considering that. And for me, there always has to be a little sense of wonder, you know, taking the sunset every day, taking the sunrise every day, you know, have a little bit of adventure. My partner's family was visiting this past weekend. And so we set up shop in our other spare room on the air mattress, which actually I didn't mind at all. Cause I actually have a weird sort of nostalgia with air mattresses and like spare blankets. And then I was going to bed one day and I was thinking, wait, why do I get so excited about an air mattress? And then it's just what you said. It's because when you set up an air mattress, you're either visiting someone or someone's visiting you. And it's like the eternal sleepover has started, you know? We are having a little adventure together, and sleepovers are kind of this, for me, this childhood thing of like endless possibility. We get to escape our family, we're with friends, you know, we can play video games or cards or just stay up late. And so whenever I'm in an air mattress, that is my connection. And that is totally my set, like one example of a Sag Moon outlet for me.
Wow. That's
the eternal sleepover.
Yeah, I love that. I'll remember that.
Yeah. And so I guess for anyone listening, that's kind of the spirit of Sag. Let's get festive, as Mariah Carey would say.
You know, it's in terms of our show that we did, I guess I feel like it was so great and I loved it. I think that my ability to like think about it is a little blunted. And I just had another kind of big moment of visibility where I got filmed doing astrology. And when it was over, I just kind of turned on myself. And I yesterday I actually had someone ask me like, how was your show at the Duplex? And I was like, I don't know. And they were like, okay, how was your show at the Duplex? And I was like, it went well. People really seemed to love it. The guests had a great time. Kiko was great. We hit our marks. But from my point of view, it's like, I think what I had to face with Scorpio is like, there's this fire or this like Terminator that I feel like follows me. And I'm like kind of watching it work again of like taking things from me, or like it's this like shame response that's taking things from me. And I do want to confront it because I kind of think it's now or never. I don't think I can run much longer.
I was reading something interesting about imposter syndrome, which maybe you're kind of circling around, but the funny thing about imposter syndrome is that we believe, you know, people tell us something, we don't believe it. We don't believe ourselves to be good, but yet we believe ourselves to be bad. I think I'm really paraphrasing this terrible Instagram tile I read from Adam Grant, who I'm obsessed with on Instagram, a psychologist and a writer. But they're talking about how we're very selective about what we choose to believe. And that's the most ironic thing. Imposter syndrome is like so irrational because if we're really trying to be like critical of ourselves, we ought to take in everyone's input equally. But yet we choose to believe, we not believe what people say and choose to believe like the worst narrative about ourselves.
Yeah. And sometimes it's like full body, you know, sometimes it's like, it doesn't even feel like it's in my head. It feels like it's just like in my being. And that's what's kind of terrifying, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's all part of the same kind of intellectual emotional matrix. So it's all connected.
Yeah, but and now's the time, David, where you can say yes to the adventure. That's Sagittarius, right? Say yes to the adventure of life. You know, we learn from Scorpio, there will be ups, there will be downs, but now is the time where we disseminate the fire out into the world. Sag.
What's weird is that during Virgo season, when I wrote the Virgo piece, I really did get in touch with something, which was like, actually, I'm worth everything. The sky's the limit. Like, I could do anything. I could be anyone. I need to think bigger, bigger, bigger. And like, I saw Alanis Morissette and I saw Garbage live and I did acid.
Wow.
And I had this like profound experience where I was just like, wow, this is what it is to command real power. And this is kind of what I've always wanted. And I've really like felt that where I've been like, something's changing. And then when I saw Dune, I was like, I really feel this. Like, I feel this crossing over like into a higher state. And I think it's like, I've kind of come to like strike that down. And I think with Sag, Sag to me is very much about like going beyond shame. And just going beyond. And I think I'm hoping to connect with that again.
Right. Well, wow. I'm really in the land of self-help folks today. But to bring it back, I mean, to set fire signs, right? Courage, our creativity and expression. And as Brené Brown would say, courage is directly linked to vulnerability.
Mm.
And vulnerability is, I don't know, me quoting some fact right now. You know, you're here. Yeah, you're flawed. You're living life in the arena. You're gonna fail, but you know, you're being honest with yourself and you're showing up. And that's what it means to live life in the arena. If you want to experience joy and connection and a meaningful life, you have to be vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable, you live life courageously. Okay. Okay, I'm on one. Okay, peppermint tea at 7:30 at night. It's true though. It's true. You just, yeah, you totally are like, you know, hey, take it or leave it. I mean, that's what I think what's great about the fire signs. They just say, take it or leave it, I'm here. And every fire sign has a slightly different angle about it. Sagittarius is about, you know, communing with people and gathering people and sharing your truth and your joy. Aries is saying like, I'm betting on myself. You know, I'm inspiring myself. I'm going to just be a pioneer. And Leo is, hey,
everyone, I got it.
I am it. Like,
and I embody it and I inspire others to embody it. And Leo's also so much about dignity and like,
right. Self-dignity. Right.
And generosity.
Mm-hmm. So that's what the fire signs bring to us. You know, they come back and at some point, I think what I always say is, there have been moments in my life where I say, you know what, especially when I've been really depressed, I say, at kind of like the depths of my depression, I've always said, whatever, maybe you'll feel like this forever. Maybe this will never change. And then you have like a little bit of like, what maybe Caroline Mace would call like grace, a little voice that just gives you a little, like a window crack of light that says, and then so what, right? And then so what? I'm here. And who cares if no one likes me? And who cares if I'm damned? Do you like yourself even a little bit? That's the fire, you know?
Caroline Mace is a Sagittarius.
Really?
And Brené Brown is a Scorpio.
Okay. Okay, we're connected today. We're connected. Wow, she is a Sagittarius, Caroline Mace.
Oh yeah, because Caroline Mace is like, I'm gonna yell at you until you get it. Like, and also she's here to like push it.
And I think she's in her own way, through her own practice of mysticism, about, you know, in the pursuit of liberation, like things spiritual inner freedom has been one of the things I've noticed in her readings for herself in her own life. She has said in countless interviews, I just want to be a mystic, you know, like hide in a hole. But, you know, write a book, publicize a book.
And then Brene Brown, you and I were talking about the iconic Brene Brown story where when she went on Oprah, she did her hour-long interview with Oprah, and Oprah was like, you know what, let's do another hour. And Brene is like, well, do we need to ask permission? Like, is that okay? And Oprah's like, who do you think I need to ask for permission? Right. And it's like, oh, right.
Right.
Cool. You're Oprah.
and also Brene Brown being a Scorpio. I mean, her whole story in her Netflix special was like, I had this huge transformative experience.
Yeah.
And I'm going to quote Theodore Roosevelt. You know, her whole thing.
I mean, my question for you is like, I think what I'm noticing and what Scorpio season has like really helped me bring to the fore is like, I am attracted to people who I admire, who are really powerful and who are really tapped in and authentic. As I get closer to them, they see something in me and they admire me and they express love for me. And then I retreat and I hide, or I end the relationship, or I kind of put a wall up. And you know, I have a lot of regret there, and I understand it's a lot of my abuse history and I'm in recovery dealing with it, but there is this thing I feel like where I get invited to the arena and I either run or I burn the arena down. And I'm like, where, maybe it is just a matter of courage to deal with that, but it's like, there's something in me that I have to convince, like, you belong here, you know, because there's another part of me that's like, fuck yes, I belong here, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to say it. Well, this is going to be a pretty out there answer for people who have no religious background. But recently, I've just been kind of tossing my questions to prayer, just kind of saying, like, truly. Now, use whatever titles and names you want, but just saying, dear God, or, you know, dear universe, I don't really know what to do about this. I know I don't like the way I'm feeling, and I'll admit that. And I am cognizant enough to know that the way I acted maybe wasn't super great. And I do feel bad about that, but I don't really know what to do next. So I'm just praying on it, so to speak. And then it's really funny if you just kind of, you know, in your own time, in your own space, sincerely put that out, what comes around. Long story short, I got into a kind of like an immature like argument with my super. Don't ever be in an argument with your super, because you do rely on them for your apartment's well-being. as my partner told me, I got into like a pretty immature argument with them, only because our wall was leaking water and I was pretty like flabbergasted about that. And that's like kind of in the book of things in your apartment, something that is intense, like you should be calling your super about that. And then, you know, we were having a work day, and then like 10 minutes later, they called and I picked it up because I thought it was an emergency, and they called me to tell me that my laundry was done and that it was, and that people were waiting in the laundry room for me to move my clothes. And I did fly off the handle, and I did feel bad about it later, but it's also like, this isn't an emergency. I have water coming down my wall. And also, I know for a fact there are 7 open dryers down there. They are the shitty ones that no one likes to use. Maybe we should think about that. Yeah, I picked the good dryer, but it's just, anyways, I say all this to say that David, you're great. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes we don't have to know why we do anything because our brains are small, you know.
Yeah,
we're little lizard things.
No, you're right. And
not, you know, to give you the guidance counselor high school, like, you're great.
No, I just started step three, which is made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of a loving higher power, as okay. we understood higher power. So, you know, what you're saying is true, which is like, I think this thing is bigger than me. This has been my whole life. It's ended a lot of relationships and it's cut off a lot of opportunities. And at some point you have to say, okay, this is bigger than me and I need to send this up. And, you know, as yes. Britney Spears says... When Britney Spears, you know, by the way, I've been in therapy for 5 years and I think therapy is like the best thing anyone could do. But Britney Spears, you know, in her testimony is like, I don't really believe in therapy. I think you should just take it straight up to God. And it's like, well, yeah, because you're Britney Spears. You're like the Queen of England. You're literally one below God. Right. But yeah, take it up to God. You're right.
Yeah. In her Instagram live, she says, quote, I am like a really strong person. So I can't imagine if this happened to anyone else after she's been in the conservatorship for 13 years. She's the best. Oh, sorry. To finish my thought, I prayed on my super thing because I was like, gosh, oh, you're right. too old to be getting into like, and be an adult. I was like, you know, be a fucking adult. That was, you shouldn't have done that. But I'm not going to like go to his door and apologize. It didn't need to be like so dramatic. You know, we're not like a TV special. Yeah. But then I was like, you know what? If there's a moment to just kind of mend it when it comes, I will just show up right to it next time. And then when he came, you know, the next business day to take a look at the wall again, he jokingly said to my partner, oh, is the big guy in? Like, talking to me. And I was like, okay, patronizing, but I do deserve it. And I said, thanks for coming by. You're the best. You are the best. And I just said that a lot. And I said, okay, you know, we're like, you know, turbulent family, you know, like whatever. And I was like, you know, yes, it's our base reactions. It's important. If we have the bandwidth to kind of observe them, they can teach us a lot.
It's crazy because there's someone... In therapy, I was talking to my therapist about someone who really pisses me off and drives me crazy. And this is so like Princess Diaries, but my therapist was like, oh, it sounds like you have feelings for him. And it was like, okay, bitch, because lo and behold, I now I'm like, oh, I do like clearly.
Okay, we're in love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's so true. The people who get that kind of like knife turn reaction in your stomach, it's so hard to go from immediately reacting or to the space of just no reaction or to the space of even just like, I'm saying a lot, but I have to just say this to protect my space, my boundaries, but I'm not even trying to hurt you. I'm just saying this for me.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
There's so many different stages to it.
I think I should be praying for courage right now because I think I'm at a crossing point from kind of what you said earlier about like the crossing point from like things are happening to me and I'm reacting to I could actually like have some authority and wield power and like make choices and be surrounded by people who also do that and like that does require courage because it means going out of a framework of identification, you know?
Right. I think Brené says something like, shame is the feeling of everyone you love, like in a room talking shit about you or something like that. Like yes. That's like the feeling. And that's so connected to, you know, being vulnerable because you're like, you have to even just play this sick mind game with yourself and say, okay, so what? Okay, so let's pretend everyone I love or I think I trust is in a room talking about me, right? If you can live through that sort of made up scenario, that's and say, I still will not enter the situation with like, you know, detached and defensive. that's courageous, you know.
But just to like work with that, for a sensitive child, what could be more annihilating? I mean, there's many things, but
this is a recurring nightmare. Yeah.
Right? Among the great annihilators is that first feeling, and I certainly remember it, of, oh, these people don't have my back.
Yep. Yep. I mean, truly, this was one of my recurring nightmares of everyone in my middle school were playing hide and seek. And then I am the one seeking and I can't find anyone. And then I find everyone who I'm playing with, all my quote friends in a room, and I open the door and I was like, hey, how come no one's hiding? And they're just laughing at me like, are you kidding me? Wait, you really thought we were playing hide and seek? You're an idiot. You know, you're a classic middle school drama, self-destructive narrative. Yeah, that it's not easy. No one said confronting your lifelong fears was easy.
And it's crazy too, because when I was a child, I was so sensitive and I would register emotions so immediately, you know, my face would flush red and I would just like cry a lot. And, you know, as you get older, that gets beaten out of you. And I think I'm like way more dissociated from my emotions, but I think when I would feel betrayal from family or whatever, when I was a kid, it was so pure and powerful and just absolutely, you know, I don't know. It's just, I'm just like remembering that feeling, and I'm understanding all the ways that I think, oh yeah, of course I protect myself from that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But and you have to.
That feeling of betrayal is so powerful because it actually can work both ways. It can work in the way that you just said, in the way I think we all conventionally understand it, of people, of feeling betrayed. And then Caroline Mace, full circle, talks about how, you know, we can move in two directions in our life. One way where we are ignoring our spirit, and one where we are moving an expansion of our spirit. And the feeling of moving away from our spirit is the feeling of, is what you're going to do fundamentally betraying yourself, right? If you take that job, do you feel like you're betraying yourself? If you, I don't know, any decision, whatever magnitude it is, like, do you feel like you're fundamentally betraying yourself, whether that's your values or, I don't know, the intangible thing, your intuition? Are you betraying yourself? And I think we start to feel very liberated when, regardless of what anyone thinks, we can just go to sleep knowing, yeah, but I didn't betray myself tonight. I don't care. It kind of cancels out all these other lesser voices that might kind of peck at you, you know, the little voices.
It's interesting because this year I've been suffering from like debilitating migraines and fatigue. Kind of come to a point where I've realized like a lot of times I got those from people pleasing. And I know how crazy that sounds. And I'm not saying that all migraines have a psychosomatic point of origin. Sometimes, you know, I'm trying a lot of medical treatment as well, but I've noticed that I think I was living a life where I betrayed myself a lot because I felt obligated and guilty. And that spurred on a lot of my relationships and my social life. And the migraines have forced me to cut all of that away. And I've just realized there's another part of me that gets to come out, you know, in this liminal place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other night I went to a sex party. And I just had this like, I had this realization where I was like, this is not an emotionally sober place for me. For other people, it might be fine. But for me, this violates my emotional sobriety. And this is, as the protector of my inner children, I'm not exposing them to the right circumstances for them to feel safe and loved. and I'm going to get them the hell out of here, mm-hmm. you know? And now I know, but I was betraying myself, and now I know.
Yeah. And those, and nothing is static either. Like, you know, you might revisit that scenario and feel totally different maybe 5 or 10 years from now. But right now you recognize that this is not right. This is not the right environment, I guess, for your spirit. And it changes. I think about that a lot with my family. I read something in my chart once that was just like, you'll learn the hardest lessons from observing the kind of the family stage, so to speak. And it's very interesting how the things that have happened in my immediate family, they're kind of, you know, they are energetic patterns that kind of reverberate out. Oh, that's kind of classic psychotherapy, but it's true for me. It's very true for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too. Biological karma, as we call it.
Yeah. So tell me how you're feeling about the 100th episode of The Luminaries. This is a pretty big chapter.
Yeah, it's... you know, to be honest with you, like, I guess I feel I'm not someone who can look back on the start of a journey and say, like, look how far I've come. And I'm really not one of those people who's good at posting, like, wow, look at this picture of me from when I was 14. Wasn't I, like, you know, goofy and silly? I'm really not that. And, you know, my scorpionics register in this, like, we must burn down the past all the time. We must burn it all away. There can be nothing left. This is the only me. This is me as I am. And, you know, even there's been some people who have said to me, like, oh, hey, I'm going to start your podcast from the beginning this year. And I've been like, no, don't do that. As if I am, because it's like, well, I don't feel in control of the person I was when I recorded those earlier episodes, but they're still me. So I feel a lot of contradiction. I feel a lot of like, this is such an you know, this is exactly what we're talking about. It's like, I'm really having a hard time accepting how people could see me that's out of my control. Because once you hit 100 episodes, baby, I can't keep track of everything I've said on this fucking podcast. And I've probably changed a lot, and in other ways, I probably haven't changed. And it does present a challenge.
Wow, I just did a little bit of a spread for you while you were talking. Are you interested to hear how this reflects?
Please tell us.
Well, tell me if any of this lands. So kind of at the core, we have the intersection of the Tower and the King of Pentacles, which is the message I'm getting is, yes, we're at a time in our life where we are tasked. It is a stupid word. We are tasked, like the old is being shocked away, you know, like the old ideas about yourself, the things that are wearing you down, you know, is the image of the scholars in the ivory tower, right? They're being shocked out of their tower, but it's actually a good thing because they're being brought back to reality, in the reality of the present. And it's like everything that is unnecessary is being taken away. But the intersectional influence is the King of Pentacles, which is the cosmos is saying it's time for you to release your fears that you will not be able to build something for the long term, whether that be your life, whether that be this podcast, anything in your life, because the King of Pentacles is the figure, well, the wise sage of the material realm, Pentacles, but also depicted with grapes. And grapes are a fruit that require a lot of nurturance and patience to grow. And the King of Pentacles is just covered in grapes. in the wardrobes and vines. And also it's a sign of Taurus. Did you know? On the King of Pentacles throne, there is a bull. And so it's about sensuality and patience, and saying that this King of Pentacles has the power and the patience to see something through all the way to the end without question. So letting go of the narratives that will hold you back from embodying this future.
You know, there's two things I want to say with that, which is, first of all, as we learned with Mercedes Kilmer, you know, Uranus is in Taurus, and Uranus is represented by the Tower. And there is a revolution going on in terms of ownership. You know, there's a reclamation of what it means to own something. And I think all Tauruses, including myself, are going through, what do I have? What do I own that makes me me? And I also think of the King of Pentacles as very like king in disguise. Like, he just wants to wander around among his people and be at peace in his kingdom. And I think there's like a huge feeling of peace with that. So thank you.
And abundance.
Yeah.
God forbid. Coming in your consciousness gift line is Seven of Wands. Hey, dare to be original, David. Dare to stand out. You have the upper hand. You're at the top of the hill. People might give their two cents here and there, but they're not even in the picture. Seven of Wands shows a solitary figure on top of a hill with everyone else's wands kind of clamoring for attention, but it's very clear that this figure has the upper hand and two different shoes to kind of underline that they are different and they're making it work. They're different. They're making it work. And it's kind of like conviction in our originality is what I think of when I see Seven of Wands.
Thank you.
It's time and coming up, energy coming up forward is Three of Cups reversed, which to me always says, celebrate the inner joys, little inner joys of life. You know, Three of Cups upright is the party, you know, coming together, a celebration. But reverse, it's, I read it as little celebrations on the inside first. Has a little bit more to do with contentment and peace.
Yeah.
And the energy we're coming away from is ten of Pentacles. Look at everything that you've built already. You've already laid the groundwork for the legacy that you want to uphold for the rest of your life. So it's time to really be content in that and keep the patient farming going.
I pulled the ten of Pentacles this morning, actually.
Oh, well, there you go.
I thought there's so much magic around, you know, the traditional term for that card is Lord of Wealth.
And it's that old figure kind of looking at the different generations and seeing everything that they have built and knowing that we build our legacy not in a vacuum. It takes time, and it takes and you build wealth by thinking about what it is that you want to leave behind.
Yeah.
Kind of very interesting if you think about it.
Kiko, where can people follow you? If who could be listening to this who doesn't follow you, but where could anyone follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kiko Soiree, K-I-K-O Soiree, like the French word for evening light party. You know, what I want to ask people, you know, to sound off on in the comments to maybe this post is, what did you think of the movie Cruella? Did you think it was overhyped, underhyped, more entertaining than you thought? So, you know, someone said, oh, you like Devil Wears Prada? You'll like Cruella. And I said, I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, I do not care for that. I do not care. When people tried that, when the Twilight books were a thing, where they were like, well, you like Buffy, you'll like Twilight. And I was like, wait a minute.
We're talking about different echelons here.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's make some choices. Yeah. People, let Kiko know your thoughts on Cruella. Shout out to Kiko about Cruella.
Yeah, I want to hear, sound off in the comments. You know, were you a Cruella fan? You know, did you not mind it? Overrated, underrated?
And do you have any last, you know, I feel so healed after talking to you, and I'm wondering if you have any like parting blessings or thoughts that you'd like to share.
I think that part of the thrill of being in a fire sign season is always staying open to surprise. Mm. Whether from yourself or from other people. Because that's fire, baby. It catches. Oh, gosh.
Okay. Oh. You being profound.
I mean it. I think it's fun. I mean, it's Sagittarius season. Yeah, it doesn't have to always be happy-go-lucky, but keep, you know, let yourself be surprised.
Thank you for being here, Kiko. I couldn't have done this without you, and I love you very much. Thank you for this.
Thank you, David. I love you, and happy 100th episode.
Thanks for making it with me to episode 100, baby. We're cooking the next 100, and I hope you'll stick around. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving, and see you on the other side. You know where to find me, davidodyssey.com, david_odyssey on Instagram, private readings, group courses, etc., etc. See you there. Love ya. Why? Wah, wah, wah.